All right, so here's my boy Luke. How are you today, my friend?
I'm great, brother. Good to see you. It's always great to see you.
Good to see you too, man. I'm glad you could make it. Thank you so much for being here. This is going to be awesome. I'm so excited actually because you and I know each other and have known each other for so long that I feel like this will be so much fun for our audience. So thank you so much for being
My
here.
pleasure.
All right, brother. Tell us more about who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm a local yokel to Northern Colorado, born and raised, grew up in Loveland. I went to CSU. I love numbers, so I started off getting a degree in accounting and quickly learned numbers are fun, but I like working with people. And so as I was about ready to graduate, I started working with the Human Bean drive-through, the drive-through coffee shop, and that's where I really cut my teeth on running a business, learning real estate. We did entitlements, site selection, and I kind of ran the back office for him while I was getting a grad degree at CSU. So when I left, I had a built-in job, and we hit the ground running. We built five locations in 3 years. We had about 80 employees, and it was going great. And that's really where I caught a love of real estate. And so about when the recession was happening, I ended up transitioning to work for a real estate developer. They bought shopping centers, redeveloped them, developed them. And so I joined them and really spent the next 10 years learning all the ins and outs of commercial real estate. I started off as a property manager, so I was boots on the ground. I got to learn how thankless of a job that is when, you crush the snow removal, you make sure it's perfect, you make sure it's great, no one says a word, but man, if you miss a spot, the whole shopping center tells you about it. And so I got to learn that.
Everybody freaks out.
They do, yeah. And you hear about the all the parking issues, you hear about roof leaks, all the things a property manager does. And so I learned that. I got to work with tenants one-on-one and really talk to them, hear how a small business works, how national companies operate. And so over that 10-year period, I grew with the company. I got to learn how to lease up shopping centers. I got to learn how to redevelop them. We ended up buying an old mall in Longmont and redeveloped that into a $90 million lifestyle center, which was fascinating. Got to learn all about tax increment financing and all those mechanisms that make a deal go. And so, over that 10-year, really built a great base of knowing kind of 360 how to run, commercial properties. And so, about 5 years ago, I transitioned from there. We had a young family. We were growing, and have continued to grow over the last several years. And so, I now have four kids, 8, 6, 5, and a one-year-old baby girl. And so, as we are starting to transition to raising a family, I want, time wealth, I want freedom, and so it propelled me to kind of go out on my own and start working on projects and what I call the real estate breadcrumbs, the projects that are a little too small for the big guys and a little too big for the residential folks or the folks kind of working on smaller projects. And so just took what I've learned, applied it, and been having a blast. And it's been a fun run over the last 5 years. And so that's what I've been up to.
That is so amazing, man. I have seen you come up like you have seen me, right? We both started and struggled and went through all of that as you do, as you step into your own business and you're an entrepreneur. And I definitely want to talk about that here in a second. But I want to kind of give you some kudos and then also ask you about the Village at the Peaks, man. That is an amazing shopping center. Like you go into that area and you almost feel like you're kind of at home. But like in a cool space of like this mansion, right? So like you said, it's a lifestyle center, and you totally feel that as you walk in. What was your role in that? And give me the top two things you learned from that.
Well, so one is just how much effort goes into merchandising. And so one thing I've learned in this entire process is rent is a function of sales. And so a tenant can only afford to pay what they bring in revenue. And so and you see birds of a feather, flock together. And so when you're starting from scratch, really trying to put together the right tenant mix and one of our ethos with that project was really trying to get complementary tenants to work together. And so, you know, we had Whole Foods, and so we put a large format liquor store next to Whole Foods. And then we had, you know, a lifestyle center. So it was really entertainment, food, you know, those type of things. And so really trying to figure out how do you put in complementing uses, because that's really the beauty of a great shopping environment is you go for one thing, stay for something else, or catch something that you may not have realized was there. And that's where the synergy is. And so, you know, of course, you've got online retail, and then, oh, by the way, COVID hit. And so there's all these, you know, external factors. And, you know, retail is a very it changes violently. You know, one day, you know, one day something is in, you know, in a desirable tenant. And the next thing you know, they're going out of business and they're Circuit City and leaving a whole bunch of 40,000 square foot boxes available. And so, you know, so it's a very interesting dynamic, but really trying to put together the right tenant mix is one. And then two, I think you described the feel of it. And we really wanted to go for that mountain resort feel. And so that's why you see outdoor fireplaces, you see a lot of stone, you see waterfalls, you see those things that make you kind of the outdoor living room that make you want to linger. And so those are the two big things that we really wanted to create, is that experience that when you go there, you don't want to rush home. There's some inviting tenants and atmosphere to keep you there.
Yeah, man, you guys did a great job. So kudos to you, my
friend. Thanks, brother.
So moving on from that, you know, the title of our podcast is The Denial of the Day. And we talk about, you know, what have you run into? What is the most absurd? What is the craziest? Anything you like? I remember interacting with you where you worked at, you know, with your previous company, and I can kind of share some of that too. But from your words, your mind, what is one of the most absurd or hilarious denials from an insurance company on a property claim that has occurred?
Yeah, and I was really excited to come onto your podcast and talk about that, because I think, you know, the industry that you're in is such, it's still so unknown, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
for sure. And
the story I'll describe, unfortunately, you weren't doing this at the time. Otherwise, I'm sure it would have ended up even better. But, you know, but the one that I worked on personally was down in Colorado Springs. And we had a large 300,000 square foot shopping center. And, you know, it was a bit dated, built in the 60s, been remodeled a few times in the 80s, the 90s. But it had a major hailstorm come through. It was all stucco, you know, stucco siding, you know, the EIFS there. It all had an EPD roof. But it was all dated. And we had a massive hailstorm come through. You go through the normal routine, you call the insurance, you know, make a claim. And someone comes out and they give you their estimate. And I think it was like $130,000 over 300,000 square foot. And so, you know, you start with it and you go, wow, okay, what's that going to cover? What's that going to replace? And I did some research, because at the time I said, boy, that seems really low. Like, we've got hail damage side of the building. You know, I've got HVAC units, you know, and they're talking about a few areas of roofing and some trim, and, you know, and that was really it, maybe some paint. And we said, that just doesn't seem right. I'm looking at dimples all along my, you know, the fins of my HVAC units are all bent down. I can't operate it.
Right.
And so we stumbled across a public adjuster and, you know, had to Google what that meant and what they do. So, but we ended up working with one, and we ended up turning our claim from 130 to, I think we ended up around 850 for our claim.
Yeah.
And it turned into brand new HVAC units, because we deemed the ones that we had couldn't be, you know, you couldn't comb out the coils, you had to replace them. Well, then you couldn't get the coils from the old ones, so they had to replace the actual unit. It ended up becoming a new roof. It ended up becoming new EIFS on the side, because you can't really patch all those dimples. You got to kind of, you know, redo it.
Right.
It became, it just grew in scope. And so it only reinforced, which is why my protocol today is anytime I have a hail claim, I call you and say, this is why you inspect every property before I buy it, get it on the radar.
Right.
And, you know, when there's a hail claim, you're already in the loop, because I learned, at least from experience, right, the value of knowing, you know, just knowing what you don't know. And at least in that case, our gut feel was, this doesn't seem right. But, you know, what proved out to be true is it wasn't right.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, because like you had mentioned previously, not a lot of people know about us or the industry. And if they did, they could get such better results, right? Like in that instance, you guys went from 130 to 850, you know, roughly a 7 times probably increase. And it's so interesting, because most people don't understand what they don't know, like you said. And if they did, they would hire us on every single claim, because like you don't want to do insurance claim stuff. That's not what your forte is. That's not what your experience is, right? Your expertise is in something different than that, as my expertise is in this. And that's why we can get really good results. Our average increase is 963% from what the insurance company initially offers, right? And so it's like blows people's mind. And so I'm working with a school district that we've taken that claim from $277,000 to $7.8 million. Right? How is it possible, right? And so that's part of the denial of the day, is we just talk really about, like, I think insurance adjusters, like anybody else, they're just doing their job and they're just trying to get by. And they probably have 70, 80, 150 claim files at any single time. So they're just trying to like do every single thing that they possibly can to push it off their desk and move on to the next thing, right? But ultimately, it really leaves the insured at a disadvantage, because they don't know what they don't know. And so with what you just said, I think is super important, not to toot our own horns, but ultimately, like, you have me go out and look at every property, the roof, the exterior, and make sure, like, Taylor, do you see anything that should be reduced as far as price or discounted as far as price because of the condition of the roof or the exterior? And, or do you think we can get this property insured? The really smart thing about that is, because I document it, and if there is damage, so be it. But if there is no damage, which a lot of the times I look at your properties and I'm like, there's really no damage up here. But guess what? I've now documented the fact that there is no damage. So the insurance company can't come back and say, oh yeah, this is prior damage. Actually, it's not, because my public adjuster, Taylor, has photos that prove that none of that damage was there before we bought the property, and now it is there. So that's awesome, man. I appreciate you doing that for us, but also letting other people know that watch this. That is such an amazing route to go for so many reasons, but most importantly, protecting your best interest in the asset that you're purchasing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I would add to
that. Awesome, brother.
You know, whether, no matter what you do, but at least from my perspective, in real estate, I want a good team, right? So I want to grow. Yeah. I want to maximize the deductions. I want max, you know, I want to make sure it's as good as possible. I want a great attorney, right? Things come up. I want to make sure my leases are tight. So I see you as another member of our team, because there's so many things, like you said, I don't know. I don't want to live in the IRS tax, you know, I don't want to know tax law. I want to know enough to know who to ask and to, you know, be informed. But I see what you do as another member of the team to make sure I'm protected. And I don't have to know every single line of my insurance policy. I have you know that, so that when I need it, it's available.
Yeah. And you bring up another good point, as far as like, that's all we do really, is we look at insurance policies and we say, hey, this is what happened. Hail. Does the insurance company owe for it? If the answer is yes, then great. To what extent? And if there's any exclusions, that's fine. But like you said, if you're making a claim, we want to legitimately make sure that you are getting paid for everything that the insurance company owes based on the contract that they wrote. Okay. The insurance company wrote that contract, which is a policy, that you get the benefit of that policy, which you are paying those premiums for. Seems pretty reasonable, right?
One would think.
But, yeah, one would think, right? But the insurance companies don't always play that game the same way. So that actually leads me to my next question. What did you learn from that underpaid experience with the mall that you were talking about?
Well, honestly, it led to what we do today, which is call you before we buy something. So what yeah. is part of another step in the underwriting or due diligence process, making sure someone like you is available to look at it, you know, put it in your queue, yeah. track, you know, track hail like you do, you know, make sure the address is there to be tracked. So what it led us is to add another due diligence item to say, you know, let's make sure we get Taylor in the loop on that. So we're covered.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point and you're kind of leading to it. So I'll just kind of explain about it. But ultimately, every time I look at a property for you or anybody else that we work with, we put it in what's called our hail alert system. So if hail exceeds a certain size at that location, it will alert us. And actually in Colorado, because of those crazy storms we were talking about before we started this, right, there has been a lot of hail all around Colorado. And I've been getting, I don't know, 3 or 4 alerts a day, like, hey, this exceeds the threshold of the hail. And really the point of that is, like on a residential claim with shingles, 1 inch hail in Colorado, because it's really dense and we have, you know, thinner air, can actually damage a shingle roof. But a 1 inch hail probably is not going to damage an EPDM roof that you have on your commercial property. So we usually put that threshold at like 1.5, because 1.5 inch hail flying at terminal velocity hitting EPDM is probably going to damage it. But 1 inch hail, probably not. So we set that threshold based on the type of roofing system that you have and or the shingles that you might have on your residence. If you have a Class 4 shingle, it can actually withstand more than if you have a 20-year-old 3-tab shingle. So we do, when we take a look at the property, we input into the hail alert system, which allows us to make sure that if something happens at your property, we're going to call you and let you know. You don't even have to call us to be like, hey, can you come look at my property? I'll be like, hey, Luke, this address got hit. You want me to go take a look? And you're like, yep, go take a look. And then we'll get you back a report, again, documenting the damage if it's there. And if it's not, we prove again to the insurance company, hey, you're saying that this is old damage from this hailstorm. It's not, because we have pictures proving otherwise. So that's awesome, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You're like pumping us up, which I appreciate.
Of course. I've also learned that if you choose to retire from this profession, you can go be a weatherman. And I learned more in that 30 seconds about hail and the impact of it than I've ever learned on the TV. So thank you for that.
You know what? It's so funny. And the people that live in Denver that have been here for a while know Marty Coniglio. And I took a class with him one time and it was like, it blew my mind. I was like, this guy's awesome. He's so cool and knows everything about weather. And like, there's weather sensors, like temperature sensors all around Denver that go to one like centralized location so it can tell you what the streets are. It's like CDOT, right? Department of Transportation, what temperature the streets are, do they need to go plow for ice and all this stuff. He explained so much, but I appreciate that, man. That's so funny, because that's how I felt with like Marty Coniglio. I was like, this guy's amazing. So I think you kind of already went into this a little bit, but I'm going to ask you a little bit more pointedly, is how do you think your experience could help our audience?
Well, I think, you know, for one is just making sure that, because we had to kind of search for a representative on that. You know, our gut feel was this is off, but we had to go search. And so, you know, I think what would help your audience is to get ahead of it and, you know, it costs you nothing to have all of your properties kind of in your queue, available to where you're kind of ready. And so I think that preparedness, it just saves a step from having to be reactive and getting a claim and then starting to say, wow, this doesn't seem right. And so I think just rewinding it a little bit, you know, ours worked out in the end, but we had to kind of muddle our way through it to get there. And so, which is why I'm still always amazed that this industry isn't more prominent than it is, because it does provide a lot of value. And, you know, dealing with an insurance company is intimidating. You don't really know what your policy says. You're kind of, they're telling you what the damage is, and you know, if you're not a general contractor, you go, well, that probably makes sense. And so it's kind of an intimidating process, especially once it starts. And so if you can get ahead of it, I think it only benefits you.
Yeah. And that's great advice, because, you know, on my LinkedIn, I do these, you know, similar videos, but they're like snippets of 2 or 3 minutes long. And we talk a lot about this one point, that insurance companies do this every single day, hundreds of times a day, thousands of times a day, millions of times a year, right? And so they understand the claims process. How many times do you make a claim per year, right? Most insureds rarely make a claim per year. It's maybe every other year, once every 5 years. I've had one insured with a long history. I think this will be his 51st year with the insurance company. Has never made a claim. Never one time made a claim, right? And so he makes a claim, and obviously the insurance company's like, well, we're not so sure if we're going to pay this. Like, dude, you've been taking premiums for 50 years and you don't pay this claim? But ultimately, that point is so understated but so important, is when you get involved with an adjuster, they do this every single day. And that's all they do. And you, as the insured, have a life, have a family, have a business, a job, whatever it might be. You might be on vacation. You might not even be local to the property. Like you and a lot of other commercial property owners, you own property that you don't live near. And so, like, sometimes you're doing this from a distance, which makes it even more disadvantageous, because the insurance company, they have adjusters everywhere, right? Or they're flying people in to look at that specific property. So I've worked on multiple commercial properties where the insurance company will say, well, why don't you make a claim earlier? Like, this seems like it's late notice. I don't live at the shopping center. I actually live in Texas or California or Florida or wherever it might be. And I just was told by the property manager that this occurred. And so a lot of that comes into the fight. But like you were saying, if we have you on the hail alert system and we can get involved before, then we'd like document everything. Like it just makes it so much tighter when the insurance company comes back with their BS rebuttals of like, oh, this is old damage, or that's from marring or scratching, or this is wear and tear. Actually, none of that is true, because I already have it documented, right? So, but that's awesome, brother. Let's go into something it's kind of off script, but what are you working on now?
Well, you know, we're in an interesting time right now. Yeah. Fed's just raised the interest rates another 0.75 yesterday. And so it's an interesting time, because, you know, the one thing I've been kind of waiting to see is, you know, when interest rates go up, loans cost more, you know, cap rates get compressed. And so, you know, there's a little bit of a trying to figure out what is happening. And I'm a big believer in any economy, there's opportunity. And so really just kind of sitting back right now and identifying, you know, where are things going to go, and making sure current properties are stabilized. And, you know, I'm a big believer, you know, these properties are just bricks and sticks. And so it's the tenants that kind of bring them to life and make them work. And so, you know, making sure current properties are taken care of. Always looking for new opportunities, but definitely looking to find a way to navigate through, you know, what's coming, because there's definitely some change. And we've rode 15 plus years of, you know, just a rocket ship here in Northern Colorado. And I think we still have a good area. But, you know, definitely navigating where, you know, where the next trajectory is going.
Cool. Well, brother, I'm out of questions, and I think that was freaking awesome. Anything else that you want to add or ask before we take off?
Well, of course, I know you. I love you, man. I think you do an amazing job. And so, you know, wherever, and I know it may be a plug on my part, but anyone who's considering, you know, going down this route should absolutely reach out to you, because there's so much value there. Right. And I know how hard you work and how ingrained you are in this business. And so I can't speak highly anybody. And I'm so, like you mentioned before, it's been fun to watch your success and watch you grow in this. And so I couldn't be happier for you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that, man. That means so much to me. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being an amazing guest. And I can't wait to have you on maybe a year from now, and we'll revisit what's happening in the marketplace for you, what's happening in the marketplace for me, and how life has changed over the next year. Thank you so much,
brother. That's perfect. And, you know, we'll do a little hail dance and see what happens in the next year and which claims you worked on for us.
I love you. Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, man.